Rondando ao redor, amigos presos, sumindo assim, pra nunca mais. Tais recordações, retratos do mal em si, melhor é deixar pra trás. Cante comigo, não. Não chore mais. Não, não chore mais. Yeah! Não, não chore mais. Menina, não chore assim. Não, não chore mais. Yeah! Well, I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in trash town, observing the hypocrites, mingled with the good people we meet. Some friends we had, some friends we lost. Yeah, yeah. So dry your tears, I say. Oh,
no one Spork Music on the on Uhuru Radio, and I would like to begin by saying Uhuru, Habarigani, Alafia, Nangadef, Yebo, Akwaba, and Assalamu Alaikum. And my name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada, up in the Great White North. And I would like to begin the show, like I begin every show, by thanking Chairman Omali Ishitella for offering me this time slot on Uhuru Radio. And I would also like to thank Archie Shep, who is the man who gave me the concept of diasporic music, although I'm not following his guidelines completely, because diasporic music theoretically is the music that is made by Africans who were taken out of the motherland. But when I play diasporic music, I'm playing it from Africa as well as the diaspora. And we kick the show off today with the music of Gilberto Gil, a young man from Brazil who was the Minister of Culture in the Lula da Silva government until 2008, I think. According to the research that we just did, he was there from 2003 to 2008. A very brilliant artist, came to Toronto on several occasions, and came here one time. He was brought by Lance Ingleton of Lip Promotions, and Lance Ingleton has joined the Ancestors, a great promoter, but he brought the brother up here. And today's show is, the first part of the show is called From Brazil to Brixton, and we are going to be playing music from Brazil to Brixton, Brixton being in the UK, of course. And when we think about the Portuguese, we think about, and the Spanish, we must realize that, as Dr. Eric Williams pointed out, that the Pope made a deal, or the Pope did something when the Spanish and the Portuguese ruling classes were arguing as to who would get the goodies from the colonies. The Pope basically told, you know, the rulers of Portugal and Spain that since you're good, you're basically brothers of the same lodge, you're both Catholics, what I'm going to do is suggest is that the Portuguese take everything on one side of the pond, and we're going to give the Portuguese, we're going to give them Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau, and Goa, and other places like that, and then we're going to give in the Western Hemisphere, for some reason, we're going to give the Portuguese Brazil. And the Spanish are going to take everything in the Western Hemisphere. And what happened was if you look at the Western Hemisphere, we look at Cuba, Puerto Rico, the whole Western Hemisphere, Mexico, it was still is Spanish. And Spanish is one of the most spoken languages on Earth. And that's how that little thing took place. And if you want to, I shouldn't say that little thing, that event in history took place. And for more information on that, you can consult Dr. Eric Williams' book from Capitalism and Slavery. Right now we wanted to go to Britain, to the United Kingdom. We wanted to play a group called Steel Pulse. Steel Pulse is out of the UK and led by a man by the name of David Hines. And David Hines has been to Steel Pulse came to Toronto on many, many occasions. And the first time they came to Toronto, I had the honor of introducing Steel Pulse. And we're going to be listening to three tracks from Steel Pulse. We're going to hear Blues Dance Raid. We're going to be listening to George Jackson, which was from the pen of Bob Dylan. And then we're going to listen to Uncle George, and this is Steel Pulse out of the United Kingdom.
Steel Pulse! Thank you. Sister.
Shot it in the head. Lord, the Kaja Jackson man.
conscious unjust society. He became revolutionary. Jackson. Soledad.
And you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And we were listening to the music of Steel Pulse, and they were paying tribute to George Jackson, Soledad, brother George Jackson, who died in a California penitentiary. He had served, had been in prison from the time he was 21 until he was killed. He was 28, 29, and he wrote two books, Soledad, Brother, and Blood in My Eye, a great revolutionary. And when you commemorate Black August every August, it is because of George Jackson and his brother, Jonathan Jackson. And this is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we are paying tribute to Mumia Abu-Jamal. Yesterday was Mumia Abu-Jamal's 54th birthday, and yesterday also was the ending of the Bandung Conference. In the second part of the show, we're going to be talking about the Bandung Conference, which took place in Indonesia in 1955, and the second Bandung Conference took place in Indonesia in 2005, and we're going to be dealing with the Bandung Conference a little bit later in the show. And I said a little bit, I guess I'm Jamaican, my trying to speak patois, which I can't do, so I should leave that one alone. But I'm going to play some music from some sisters, and I'm going to be playing Betty Swan, Make Me Yours. I'm also going to be playing Mishi Me, I Don't Want to Be Your Slave, and I'm also going to be playing Shante Grant. Shante Grant hails from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Betty Swan hails from Shreveport, Louisiana. And Betty Swan happens to be a cousin of mine. And she grew up in Arcadia, Louisiana, which is the spot that I grew up in. And now, I didn't grow up there, but I was born in Arcadia. But Betty Swan, born in Shreveport, and I should say that Shreveport, Louisiana, is the same spot that Al Prentice, Bunchy Carter, the deputy minister of defense, he was born in Shreveport. And there's a film out there called 41st and Central. I understand it's breaking all kind of records, 41st and Central, which is about the Southern California chapter of the Black Panther Party. And Al Prentice Bunchy Carter, born in Shreveport, Louisiana, is the focus of this particular film. And also Masai Hewitt, Raymond Masai Hewitt, also was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. He was the Minister of Education for the International Black Panther Party. I mean, he was from L.A., from the area that I grew up in, Bunchy grew up, but he was relocated to Oakland, and he was the Minister of Education for the whole Black Panther Party. So right now we want to listen to Betty Swan, Mishi Me, and Shante Grant.
Slave, and I'm not gonna take it how you wanna love me or me straight up. When the message game, ain't no puppet on a string. Like them hoes sucking on your thing. Overworked and underpaid for days. Behave, I'm not gonna be your slave.
Do it.
People screaming hardcore, living in the ghetto, sleeping on the floor. What you thought I was gonna rise? Do my thing, get my piece of the pie. You're holding your breath for great God out the sky. Best live your life, cause you just waiting to die. People still taking life for a joke. Can't see the fire, but you blow out of smoke. If you didn't get it, you got what you deserve. And just like that, that's my word. Every day I wake up, scheming on the come up. No daydreaming, got to stay one up. How you gonna sit back and wait on the wealth? Gotta go get it, motivate yourself. If not, you're only perpetrating yourself. And at the end of the day, you only hate yourself. If you know me, you know my motto. Take in charge, you got what it takes to make it all.
Do it.
The world got a problem, and it's yours. That's why I wrote this rhyme. You can quote this line, cause I focus mine. Living in some hopeless times, or so it seems. Never let go of your dreams, now I mean.
Now I mean,
do what you got to do.
Mr. Brown, the first resident of Africville. This song is for Mr. Brown, the first settler of Africville. Mr. Brown, can you hear me calling your name against the wind? Mr. Brown, I went down to the shores of the Bedford Basin looking for you, but Africville could not let me in. Some of the people's lots was replaced by a park bench. Some of the people's lands is a children's playground. I don't know what the city was thinking when they come to Africville to chop them down. Built a string of condos called White Mountain over Africville. Built a string of condos over stolen ground today. Built a string of condos called White Mountain over Africville. But where's the black community that they brought down? This song is for Mr. Brown, the first resident of Africville. This song is for Mr. Brown, the first settler of Africville. Africville. Mr. Mr. Brown,
Mr. Mr. Brown,
can you hear me? I'm calling your name. Some of the people's lands is a children's playground. I don't know what the city was thinking when they come to Africville to chop them down. Built a string of condos called White Mountain over Africville. Built a string of condos over stolen ground. I said there sits a string of condos called White Mountain over Africville. Where's the black community that they brought down? Where is
felt Africville. I've heard the stories about how their land was taken away and how they were forced out, how they were displaced from their homes, but today I felt Africville. Sickened to my stomach, watching dogs pee on trees that were once climbed, watching mothers and their husbands take their children out of their car, unstrap their dogs from its leash, and run free through the backyards of the people who once lived in Africville. I see families. None of them are black.
I look around this place and think about all those great memories that went through here and that lives on through our souls and our hearts. I mean, it's in our bloodline. It just makes me sick thinking about them bulldozers and trucks that came in and took out my people and their homes. Think about all those children and their families.
I could not imagine someone taking my home, the place I grew up, where I took my first step. Destroying my life because what I cared about the most was my community and being able to walk down to so-and-so's with my friends or going to the community store or just hearing my mom or grandmother say, get up for church, and being able to walk to church because it was only down the hill. Being able to go...
It sends me to know I'll never really know Africville. No matter what color you are or where you're from, find out what you can about her. Take a walk through where she used to lay. Imagine her life and her death. Imagine the moving people, the children playing, hymns being sung, and the love being pumped through her veins. Imagine
Africville. Africville. Were you ever here? I see pictures of you in textbooks. I see documentaries of you at school. And to think a city that prides itself on hospitality would tear down a community like such.
Seaview Park? A place to walk your dog while it poops all over the ground? No, I don't think so. I will continue to call it Africville. A place called home to many, including some of my own blood. My great-grandmother was a Carvery, a common last name from this community. She passed away before I was born, but my mother and my grandmother can tell me stories about her growing up in her home, Africville. As I stand here by this park bench, that at one time could have been a porch step, I think about family and how I would have fit in. And then I see two dogs running across.
Any other historical sites won't allow dogs, are covered with information, and where things are missing, pictures are there for all to see. But when I come here, all I can think is, what was this place? What was Africville, and why is there a welcome sign? Who is Tibby, and where is her pond? And why does the memorial reflect an accident instead of an incident involving a great injustice to our people? There was no fire, no flood, no natural disaster, no explosion or great conflict. Homes were bulldozed and people were forced out. Why aren't these stories told when I set foot on this soil? Why does this place say dog park with no history? It should be in my face. What happened to this place?
Train tracks? Dumps? Rats? An infectious diseases hospital. Not the norm for your everyday community. Not even a place you would think of visiting. But for some, this was home. A home to raise your children. a home to feel a sense of belonging and love, a connection, a post office, a church, a home to share and create memories, the memories that linger forever, some good, some bad, but all are important to the history of this place called Africville. A home, a community, a people.
Uhuru, this is Jalali, a.k.a. Norman Otis Richmond, and you're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. And we were listening to a sister by the name of Shante Grant out of Halifax, Nova Scotia. She did a piece called Africville. We also heard from Mishi Mi from Toronto, Ontario, my good buddy. She did a piece called I Don't Want to Be Your Slave. And I remember the first time I saw Mishi Mi was at a community center. She was on the platform with Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael. I think he was still Stokely Carmichael at that time. And Kwame made a statement that the only way you could organize an economy, society, you had to choose an economic system, and there was only two ways to go. There was capitalism, or there was socialism leading to communism. And some people were like jumping under their chairs. They were very, very frightened. But Mishi Mi shared the stage with Kwame. She was a young sister at that particular time. But Mishi Mi is going to get something new out there, and we're going to be playing that as soon as we get our hands on it. And we also heard from Betty Swan and something called Make Me Yours, which was on the Money label, Money Records out of Los Angeles, California, which was a label that I used to record for with a group called Eminem and the Peanuts, and then I recorded with a group called the Perennials. We recorded for a subsidiary of Money Records. And Betty Swan is still in the land of the living, and hope she is doing all right. And we wanted to move right along and take you right now. I guess we're going to go to church because we're going to be playing some DJ Rogers and some Bobby Womack, but this song, No Matter How High I Get, is really from an album by Wilton Felder, who was one of the Jazz Crusaders, and it features Bobby Womack and a woman named Altrina Grayson out of Cleveland, Ohio. And Altrina Grayson can blow. If you ever see Bobby Womack live, when Bobby Womack sings a lot of his duets that he recorded with Patti LaBelle, Altrina Grayson sings along with him. And she, at one time, I don't know if she still is, was his one of his background singers. And she's also part of some of Tyler Perry's plays. She performs in some of them. But let's go to Robert Dwayne Womack and Altrina Grayson, and let's listen to that.
Takes me all around the world. Oh, I'd be the first to admit that I've had some fun with some of the prettiest girls. But temptation gets strong sometimes. But if it lasts too long, oh, they always seem to call me at the right time, saying, oh, be strong.
Feeling that I've never, never known. 'Cause see, I they pay to see. But you get that free, baby. But you get the worst side of me. The things that I lost along the way took a whole lot out of me. I had become so blind that I lost all reality.
I've been begin to lose everything I touch. One Tuesday evening, love, it brought me back. I'm proud to say love, it brought me back.
Let's learn to live and love one another. Bless you very much. Thank you and good night.
You're listening to Uhuru Radio, and this is Diasporic Music. This is Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we were listening to the music of DJ Rogers out of Los Angeles, California. He did a piece called Love Brought Me Back. And we also heard from Altrina Grayson, Bobby Womack out of Cleveland. And Wilden Felder is out of Houston, Texas, I believe. He is out of Houston, Texas, I don't believe. But they made their mark in Los Angeles, California. And this is, we are commemorating the Band Down Conference. In the next hour, we're going to be playing some speeches about the Band Down Conference, but this portion of the show is dedicated to Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was 54 years old yesterday, and Mumia is having a lot of issues with the state, and he continues to have issues with the state. And we're going to listen to some birthday greetings from Mumia Abu-Jamal, and then we're going to listen to Alice Walker on Mumia Abu-Jamal. And then we're going to go into the second hour. So right now we're going to listen to Mumia Abu-Jamal.
It may surprise you, but for years, I did not celebrate a birthday. Well, that's partly because the everydayness and sameness of prison. It's also because I really didn't remember the day, and I was often surprised by a card from my mother or my children or my wife. They surprised me into remembering. Of course, that was years ago. As the freedom movement has grown, so has the significance of that date, for the movement has kept me alive and engaged in struggle. For that, I thank you all. That's because movements create social change. Some years ago, many years ago, the anthropologist Margaret Mead said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Just imagine if we were there." I thank you for all you have done and all you intend to do. I love you all. On the move. Build the movement. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
If I was president, were may be substituted by those who prefer it. If I was president, the first thing I would do is call Mumia Abu-Jamal. No, if I was president, the first thing I would do is call Leonard Peltier. No, if I was president, the first person I would call is that rascal, John Trudell. No, the first person I'd call is that other rascal, Dennis Banks. I would also call Alice Walker. I would make a conference call, and I would say this. Yo, you troublemakers, it is time to let all of us out of prison. Pack up your things. Dennis and John, collect Alice Walker if you can find her in Mendocino, Molokai, Mexico, or Gaza, and head out to the prisons where Mumia and Leonard are waiting for you. They will be traveling light. Mumia used to own a lot of papers, but they took most of those away from him. Leonard will probably want to drag along some of his canvases. Alice, who may well be shopping in New Delhi, will no doubt want to dress up for the occasion in a sparkly shalwar kameez. My next call is going to be to the Cubans, all five of them, so stop worrying. For now, you are my fish. I just had this long letter from Alice, and she has begged me to put an end to her suffering. What? She said. You think these men are the only ones who suffer when old-style America locks them up and throws away the key? I can't tell you, she goes on, the changes this viciousness has put me through. And I have had a child to raise and classes to teach and food to buy. And just because I'm a poet, it doesn't mean I don't have to pay the mortgage or the rent. Yet all these years, nearly 30 or something of them, I have been running around the country and the world trying to arouse justice for these men. Tonsillitis hasn't stopped me, Migraine hasn't stopped me. Lyme disease hasn't stopped me. And why? Because knowing the country that I'm in, as you are destined to learn it too, I know wrong when I see it. If that chair you're sitting in could speak, you would have it moved to another room. You would burn it. So, amigos, pack your things. Alice and John and Dennis are on their way. They are bringing prayers from Nilak Butler and Bill Wapapa. They are bringing sweetgrass and white sage from Pine Ridge. I am the president, at least until the corporations purchase the next election. And this is what I choose to do on my first day. This is Alice Walker, January 25th, 2010. For a fuller comprehension of this poem, please view the following videos. Incident at Oglala, In Prison My Whole Life, Trudell, and Why We Fight.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
And you are listening to Uhuru Radio. This is Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we were listening to a commentary on Mumia Abu-Jamal by Alice Walker. And also we heard birthday greetings from Mumia Abu-Jamal. Yesterday was Mumia's 54th birthday. We are moving into part two of our show, where we're going to be looking at the Bandan Conference. The Bandan Conference took place in April of 1955 in Bandan, Indonesia. There were 29 Asian and African countries in attendance. Nehru was the head of state of India. Zhou Enlai was representing China. Of course, Chairman Mao Zedong was the head of state of China. Sukarno was the head of state of Indonesia. And Gamal Abdel Nasser was the head of state of Egypt. The Gold Coast was there. Ghana was not independent. Ghana would not become independent until 1957. And it was not even called Ghana at that particular time. It was called the Gold Coast. And it was Asian and African countries coming together. I think Ethiopia was there, Vietnam, so on and so forth. But we're going to get into that a little bit later. But right now we wanted to play some music from John William Coltrane and Eric Dolphy. I believe Reggie Workman, I think, is playing bass on this. And Elvin Jones is the drummer. And, of course, McCoy Tyner. And we're going to be listening to a piece called India. Thank you. You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Jalali, a.k.a. Norman Otis Richmond. And we were listening to the music of John William Coltrane, and I think I made a mistake. I think that might be Jimmy Garrison on bass as opposed to Reggie Workman. And I don't think I mentioned the great Elvin Jones, who is the drummer. And it also featured Eric Allen Dolphy out of Los Angeles, California. And Eric Dolphy, when Eric Dolphy passed away, Eric Dolphy's mother gave John Coltrane most of or all of Eric's instruments, because John Coltrane and Dolphy were like brothers. And I remember one time in Los Angeles, I went to a club called the It Club, which was owned by an African, a black man. And I walked into the club, and there was no one there. And McCoy Tyner was sitting at the piano, and Coltrane was in the back playing a bass clarinet. And I said to myself, I didn't know John Coltrane played a bass clarinet. That is, I know he played soprano saxophone and tenor, soprano saxophone and tenor saxophone, but I had never known him to play a bass clarinet. But I found out years later that Eric Dolphy's mother had given Train Dolphy's instruments, so I guess maybe that he had just received those instruments from Eric Dolphy's mother. But right now we wanted to move and deal with the Bandung Conference. The Bandung Conference took place in Bandung, Indonesia in 1955, in April of 1955, and many people went to the Bandung Conference. There was like 29 Asian and African countries, and there were a number of African people from the Western Hemisphere, not from the Western Hemisphere, from America. Richard Wright, the novelist, the writer Richard Wright, he went and wrote a book called The Color Curtain. Adam Clayton Powell, who was a congressman at that particular time and a minister, he went, and he wasn't supposed to go because they didn't sanction him going. When I say they, the American government. And what happened was Adam Clayton Powell went as a representing a Negro newspaper, believe it or not. And there was Carl T. Rowan, who was working for the other side. Carl T. Rowan was a journalist who made the statements about Malcolm X being a pimp, hustler, and in autobiography of Malcolm X. If you read that, he had some very disparaging things to say about El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. But anyway, he went because the CIA sent him there. We also had a couple of sisters. I think it was Ethel Payne, who was writing for the Chicago Defender. She was a young woman. And another sister who was writing for, she may have even been working for the New York Times. And then there was a young man from Los Angeles, California, who mortgaged his house to go to the Bandung Conference. And Adam Clayton Powell, when he got to Indonesia, he decided to defend the great United States of America, and he ran into a lot of problems. I was reading Carlos Cooks, who was the head of the African National, African Pioneer Movement, and Carlos Cooks said that when Adam Clayton Powell went there, he went into a room which was for the ministers, and they wouldn't let him in. And Carlos Cooks was saying that, no, that wasn't for preachers, those type of ministers. These are for foreign ministers. And Carlos Cooks did not like Adam Clayton Powell at all. But anyway, Adam Clayton Powell went there and didn't really want to talk about the contradictions in America. While he was there, he wanted to defend America. And then, you know, after the Bandung Conference, we had, of course, in August, we had the killing of Emmett Till in Mississippi. And in December of 1955, we had the beginning of the Montgomery bus boycott. So Adam Clayton Powell really came away from Indonesia with egg on his face. But if you get a chance, check out a book called The Color Curtain, and Richard Wright breaks it all down. But right now we're going to go to two commentaries. Well, one is a speech by El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, which he recorded in Detroit. And also we're going to hear from Dr. Jared Barr.
he's going to do a commentary on the Bandan Conference. So first we're going to hear from Malcolm X.
We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them are enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problems solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together, nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments that the white man has. But they had unity. They were able to submerge their little petty differences and agree on one thing, that though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgians, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese. When they came to the Bandung Conference, they looked at the Portuguese and at the Frenchmen and at the Englishmen and at the other Dutchmen and learned or realized that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all Europeans, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned.
55 years ago this week, 29 African and Asian nations gathered in Bandung, Indonesia, to develop organized resistance to Western imperialism. 1 year ago this week, 141 mostly African, Asian, and Latin American nations were gathered at the World Conference Against Racism, Durban 2, in Geneva, Switzerland, looking to, among other things, develop collective strategies in a struggle against racism, xenophobia, and related intolerance problems. In each case, the world's majority joined together to speak and to organize against the ravages of Western dominance. In each case, many well-meaning people were inspired. In each case, the West refused full acceptance or participation, and in each case, the hopes and unity have yet to be realized. In 1955, President Eisenhower refused to send a delegation despite having not been invited. In 2009, despite being invited, President Obama refused U.S. participation, just as Bush had refused participation in the 2001 original World Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa. In 1955, the West was not invited. In 2009, the West was invited, but 9 of the 23 Western nations walked out or boycotted. Whatever were the given reasons for their lack of involvement in 2009, the reasons were in fact the same as those which led to their not being invited in 1955. If the responses of the colonizer to include equality, reparations, or overthrows of currently held relationships of power, the West, regardless of the particular hue of its leadership, is not interested. Then as now, the wealth-producing nations of the so-called Third World are essential as colonies of the West. It is we who have not learned our lessons. In 1955, black American leadership knew the importance of such a gathering. In 2009, with few notable exceptions such as Cynthia McKinney, established leadership was silent both in terms of attendance and in criticism of the president's decision not to go. Looking back on Bandung in 1963, Malcolm X noted in his message to the grassroots the importance of this kind of unity and expressed the inspirational impact it had on him. Recognizing the power in the oppressed leading their own struggles for freedom, he noted that the number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung conference was the white man. He couldn't come. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons, they didn't have jet planes, they didn't have all the heavy armaments that the white man has, but they had unity. And in at least two cases, for W.E.B. Du Bois and Paul Robeson, it took government interference to keep them from attending. Robeson sent his blessings and summarized not only his support, but the precise purpose for the gathering. "How I should have loved to have been in Bandung," he exclaimed. He added that the time has come when the colored peoples of the world will no longer allow the great natural wealth of their countries to be exploited and expropriated by the Western world while they are beset by hunger, disease, and poverty. The black leaders who could make it included Richard Wright and Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. Wright would later say, "Here were class and racial and religious consciousness on a global scale. And what had these nations in common? Nothing, it seemed to me, but what their past relationships to the Western world had made them feel. This meeting of the rejected was in itself a kind of judgment upon that Western world." Powell, in assessing his country's refusal to participate, said that they had deliberately and calculatedly imperiled the future of the United States of America for perhaps the rest of our lives. And given that today throughout Asia, poverty remains rampant and gaps in wealth grow, and that the theft of Africa's wealth remains key to the hegemony of the West, or that for African America, the crisis of economic instability has been described as permanent, there remains much we can learn from the need for a Bandung then and similar unification now. As then President Sukarno of Indonesia exclaimed in 1955, we today also need unity and diversity. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Jared Ball. On the web, visit www.blackagendareport.com.
And you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we were listening to Dr. Jared Ball. I apologize for mispronouncing the brother's name. I listen to his commentaries all the time, and I read his work. And I even listened to his show, Jazz and Justice, comes out of Washington, D.C. on Mondays, and I listened to some of his replays. A very good show. I recommend Dr. Jared Ball, B-A-L-L, a member of the Black is Back Coalition. He was talking about the Bandung Conference, and I would like to clarify something, that Marshal Tito of Yugoslavia was a part of the Bandung Conference, and he was the head of state of the former Yugoslavia, and the former Yugoslavia is a sort of Euro-Asian state, because many people in the former Yugoslavia were Muslim and are Muslim, and Tito was a Marxist, but he was he presided over that particular state, and if you notice, Slobodan Milosevic was taken to the world court and jail, and if you notice that so-called not world court, but the I think it's the world court, and I might be mispronouncing it, they only go after Africans and Europeans that happen to be of socialist persuasion. If you are George Bush or Tony Blair, or you know, if you're the head of state of a European country or country that's run by Europeans, they usually leave you alone. But they did go after Yugoslavia's head of state, Slobodan Milosevic. And this is we're paying tribute right now to the Bandung Conference. And yesterday was the 54th birthday of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and yesterday also was the ending of the Bandung Conference in 1955. And we wanted to continue with the music of Ella Andale, who is out of Trinidad and Tobago, although I've been made to understand that she is, I think she was born in Grenada, like many people. The Mighty Sparrow was born in Grenada.
So we're going to listen to Ella Ando. We're also going to listen to Sugar Aloes, and we're also going to be listening to Black Stalin. And I know Chairman O'Malley should tell us a big fan of Black Stalin, so we're going to listen to some music from Trinidad and Tobago, TNT, but let's listen to Ella Ando and Black Woman.
Remember you're single, number one. You better stay away, not a woman. Remember you're single, number one. Stay away, black woman. Remember you are still number one. You better stay away, black woman. Remember you are still number one. You better stay away, black woman. Remember you are still number one. You better stay away, black woman. Remember you are still number one. You better stay away, black woman.
To meet with my ancestors and visit the River Nile. voice like that great angel. I could touch your soul, both spiritual and carnal. I could bring you transportation to Africa. I am an Orisha priest, they call me the Amungwa. Hey, Shango Babawa, Shango Olodo, Kabrile, Shango Babawa, Olodo, Kabrile, Siyo. Hey,
Shango Babawa,
Day, Day, Day,
Shango Babawa, Kabrile, Shango Babawa, Olodo, Kabrile, Siyo.
Let me see the hands up on the door. Hey, Mani Shango, Dawona. People stop to congratulate me, commenting on how much yes, the judges them rob me. What the judges said to me didn't mean a thing, because I knew long before last year I was born a king. So when I sing Kaito, that's to feed my family. But when I sing Orisha, it's to pay homage to my deity. Alado ye Abakuso, that's my tribal cry. I'm so proud I could stand and explain to you who am I. Aye, aye, Shango Babawa, Shango Olodo, Kabrile, Shango Babawa, Olodo, Kabrile, Siyo.
Hey, Shango Babawa,
ding, ding, ding,
Shango Babawa.
Shango Babawa, Olodo, Kabile, Siyo. Shango Babawa, Shango Olodo, Kabile, Shango Babawa, Olodo, Kabile, Siyo. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Power trying to conquer Africa. Yes, they went down there with all their lust and their greed. But don't care how they try, you know they can't succeed. Yes, they kill and they kill and keep killing. But the more Africans they kill, the more they see coming. And when they try and they try and they can't make hands with Africans, they just pack up the bag and back they go on to the land. Why?
No warriors we come down. No warriors we come. No Africans that they kill.
It's the more they see coming still.
They kill Juju, Yuhuru, Ashanti, Watusi. They kill Juju, Yuhuru,
You go African that they gone down.
No come, no come.
We get back Mozambique so easy. Zimbabwe and Angola are ready. And if it's one thing as sure now as ever, Namibia and South Africa round the corner. Yes, there's one bomb they drop on Hiroshima, and they get the whole of Japan to surrender. And in 200 years, Red Cloud on the reservation. But for 400 years, they still can't capture Africa. Why?
The more warriors, they come down. Yes, the more warriors will come. The more Africans stand and kill. It's the more they see coming soon.
If they do too.
Listening to that Black Spoke Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And we were listening to the music of Lee Morgan, the late, great Lee Morgan, a great trumpet player out of Philadelphia. And Mumi Abu Jamal, this portion of the show was dedicated to, we're talking about the Bandung Conference, and Mumi Abu Jamal, yesterday was Mumi Abu Jamal's 54th birthday. And Lee Morgan hailed from Philadelphia. He was a child, a prodigy, one of the greatest trumpet players that ever lived. And he did a piece called Mr. Kenyatta. And that came out, that was recorded in 1954. And at that particular time, we knew about the Mau Mau and we knew about Jomo Kenyatta. But what we really didn't know that, you know, the burning spear, Jomo Kenyatta was sort of a fade out. And we really didn't pay tribute like we should have done to people like the Land and Freedom Army, or the so-called Mau Mau, which was led by Dedan Kimathi. And Lee Morgan paid tribute to the Mau Mau, and Lee Morgan did a lot of great work, Search for a New Land, and very conscious brother. And he was murdered on stage in New York City many years ago. And if you get a chance, check out Lee Morgan. There's an excellent book about Lee Morgan. I can't recall the name of the book, but it's been out for the last year or so. But I wanted to thank Nyabinga Zimbabwe for handling the buttons today, and I would like to thank everyone for listening. And we're going to fade out with the music of Doug and Gene Kahn in a piece called Love Supreme Acknowledgement by John Williams. And what I wanted to say now is see you in the whirlwind, and Kwaheri.
You have to listen if you want to hear the message, the beautiful message of it.